This is Here and Now, and it's been a challenging year for American farmers. Let me count the ways. A trade war with China, rising farm debt at record levels, delays in planting due to extreme weather. Some farmers in the Midwest didn't ever get to plant a crop this year. And also, farmers are just getting older. The average age is now 58. That's 8 years older than it was in the 1980s. So we wondered about the next generation and what it's like to get into the business. Joining us now are two young farmers who are just getting started, and they both recently bought land in the past year. First, Gracie Weinzerl, are you there?
Yes, sir.
You're 27 years old. You are a beginning farmer on the Weinzerl Stevens Farms in Stanford, Illinois. You grow the cash grains, corn and soybeans, right?
Yes.
All right. Well, welcome to you. And Davon Goodwin, how about you? Are you there?
Oh, yes, sir, I am.
31 years old. You run the OTL farm in Laurinburg, North Carolina, an Army vet and the first in your family to get into farming. You grow grapes and blackberries. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good, sir.
Good. And what tough year, right? I mean, the middle part of the country just got slammed with rain this spring. Gracie, you're there in Illinois. How did 2019 close out for you?
You know, it's done. So we're celebrating that. It was definitely a rough start. And, you know, the year started with rain and the year ended out with rain. So
did you get your crop in the ground?
Yes, yeah, so we were about 3 weeks behind average, but it did get in. It grew as it should have. And then harvest was obviously delayed because we got in really late and then it kept raining.
Now, what's that do for business if you're 3 weeks late?
It's very stressful. So you have to wonder, it's like, am I going to get a crop in the ground? When you're growing corn, you have to worry about, you know, the next steps that fall into succession after, you know, you plant your crop. So you have to think about whether I can get my additional fertilizer on that goes out throughout the season, whether I'm going to have issues with weed control or disease and insects that a lot of times are influenced by wet weather, and whether or not you're going to have enough growing time for the crop itself before the first frost.
And when it's all said and done, how much money did you lose, or did you make less than you thought you would?
I would say in terms of yield, our yields were a little bit down. Our soybeans weren't too far off average, which we're very thankful for. Corn was a little bit lower because it was more impacted by that rain and the cool growing season getting started.
So that's corn and soybeans. Davon, what about you? How's the grape and blackberry business?
Yeah, so we were supposed to plant earlier in the year, but our property was flooded. So we couldn't plant. So we just start planting today. It was our first day planting our first acre of grapes. And so we're definitely behind. And when you have a perennial crop that's going to take you 3 years for your first commercial harvest, that means I missed the whole growing season. But at the same time, I mean, we're thankful that we're able to start planting now and start getting ready for 2020.
Now, wait a minute. Help me understand something. It is almost January 1st, and you're planting right now in North Carolina?
Yeah, so you plant in the winter, and for normally perennials, you'll plant in the winter, and then in spring, you'll have your bud break and everything like that.
Look, one of the tough things for farmers of any age, but especially your age, is to get access to land, and you both pulled it off this year. You both bought a chunk of land for your business. Davon, tell me about that. How'd you do it?
Yeah, it was challenging. You know, I was a farm manager for the last 5 years, and I lived in a camper for the last 5 years, and my wife lived in a whole different part of the state for the last 5 years, and so we saved up a lot of money and tried to pay off as much debt as we possibly could, and for our economic kind of outlook to look a little better. And then I had to get a real job off the farm. You know, I wasn't making enough just farming, so I had to, you know, have a, you know, traditional 8-to-5 off the farm to kind of make it work throughout the course of our last year.
Wow. And how many acres did you buy?
We bought 42 acres.
Did you go into debt?
Oh, yeah. We bought just a big field, so we had to build the house, drill wells, put up fence, and, you know, get our vineyard established. And so we're getting up there. It's not unsettling, but it's one of those things like, how much money will we go into debt and before we're able to actually pull it off and be profitable? I think we get close to $500,000.
Wow.
And that's a lot.
Gracie, what about you? Tell me about the land you bought.
Yeah, so it seems that all of the cards were in my favor this year. Like Davon, I have worked off the farm since graduating from college, working also in the agriculture industry full time. But my family has farmed land from one of the landlords that we have right now for almost 100 years now. One branch of the landlord's family decided that they wanted to sell some land this year, and they were willing to sell it to us. And then I had the opportunity to buy a portion of that field, knowing that I couldn't buy the full 60 acres and still be able to make the payments. So, and another family member was able to pick up the other part of the field. And so that was really an awesome opportunity for me, because traditionally, you know, you might go to a land auction and be expected to come up with the money in the line of credit right away. Our landlord was patient while I worked through the loan process and making all of this happen. So it was just really lucky that I was able to buy something affordable for me and get my feet wet.
You both said something that I think is incredibly important. In order to make this work, you are working jobs outside of the farm.
Yeah, so I grew up, my dad farmed and my uncle farmed with my dad, and they both worked off the farm. And, you know, I don't ever expect to be a full-time farmer. You know, the insurance is really nice, and it's nice to have that extra income.
Yeah, I would definitely say, you know, having off-the-farm income is, I wouldn't say the only way you can do it, but it gives you a lot of security. You know, knowing that if I have crop failure, I'm still going to get a paycheck, that's a big deal, you know. And then trying to, you know, raise a family, it's hard when you just have farming income. So I think for most young farmers that I know, most of them have off the farm jobs to kind of support their farm until their farm gets to the place where they can make that decision to work on a farm or continue to work off the farm as well.
Gracie, I know I hate to do this to you, but we got to talk politics, because you sell soybeans, you raise soybeans, and a record amount of those beans are just sitting in silos across the country unused. How's the trade war, the president's trade war, affecting you?
I would say that it has definitely decreased what we're looking at for soybean prices right now. You're right, there are soybeans in storage with nowhere to go at the moment, but I'm optimistic about the future. I'm optimistic that we will find places for those soybeans to go, whether it be new domestic markets or new international markets that we hadn't considered before.
Davon, is the trade war a topic of conversation where you are in North Carolina?
It is, especially with, you know, more of the, you know, conventional row croppers. I think it's a big deal. And it's something that I feel like, you know, I kind of agree with Gracie. I'm pretty optimistic as well. I think as a young person getting into this field, I think you have to be pretty optimistic that, you know, some of these issues will kind of fade away and it'll be kind of a brighter tomorrow.
And clearly you have to be passionate about what you do as well, because as you've laid out, it's tough work. Farm debt in this country is up to $416 billion. Farmers are defaulting on their loans. Both of you have had to make financing decisions this year. Tell me more about, you know, with all these headwinds, why you feel confident in what you're doing, Davon.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, for me, farming is just not about making money, but it's giving my community access to food. But, you know, we do talk a lot about the debt, you know, because, you know, we had to buy new equipment this year. We put up deer fencing. That was really expensive. And so I guess my wife asked me, you know, how much money are we going to have to spend before we make that threshold of profitability? And I tell her, I think we have another, I don't know, 50, 60,000 at least just to get the grapes in the ground. I mean, grapes are costing me right around $8,000 an acre to put them in the ground.
Gracie, why are you doing it?
You know, it's a way of life. For me, it's something that I grew up with. It's something my parents grew up with. It's something that all of my grandparents grew up with. It's just, it's something our family does. So I'd say to those looking to maybe joining their family's farm or even looking at other opportunities to get into farming and agriculture, don't give up. You know, you might have a hard year, but there's always next year.
And what, Gracie, I want to ask you, the industry is dominated, but the numbers show it. Mostly older white men are farmers. Gracie, you are a young woman. Davon, you are a young black man. How do you feel like you fit into this industry? Do you feel good about that?
I would say I have never felt that I don't fit into the industry. Yes, stereotypically, it is, you know, the middle-aged white male. I think of my dad. But I think, too, that especially with the way the ag census is tracked up until recently, it's misrepresented what's actually happening as far as who farmers are. Traditionally, they asked, you know, who's the decision maker on the farm? And, oh, you can only have one person. Whereas, you know, growing up, I knew that my grandpa farmed, but my grandma was just as involved. She'd be the one, you know, hauling the grain to the elevator. And so I think that we are doing more to be more inclusive in the future. And I'm really excited to see more beginning farmers enter the field.
Davon, your thoughts?
I mean, I do feel like I fit in. it's a double-edged sword type question. I think obviously, you know, people of color have been marginalized, you know, for a long time when it comes to land and land access and who gets to, you know, have land and who gets to farm. It bothers me definitely because I think people of color do want to farm, I think, in a lot of instances. But I think there's not a lot of my peers who farm that are people of color. And so I think, you know, I think in the future, I think that number will increase. But, you know, right now, I think we have a long way to go.
Indulge me in a little stereotype cliche here, if you will.
All right.
Farmers wake up early, right? Devon and Gracie, what time do you wake up in the morning?
So I wake up about 6 o'clock. Now, when we're harvesting grapes, I harvest grapes throughout the night. And so, but roughly now, you know, this time of the year, it's about 6 o'clock in the morning.
Okay, not bad. Gracie, can you beat that?
No, I can't. I would have to say I identify more as a night owl.
Yep.
Typically, most days, I roll out of bed around 6:45.
Oh, lucky you. I mean, come on, guys. I wake up earlier than both of you, so I've just shattered a stereotype here. Gracie Weinzierl, 27 years old, a beginning farmer at the Weinzierl Stevens Farms in Stanford, Illinois, and Devon Goodwin, 31 years old. His farm is the OTL Farm in Laurinburg, North Carolina. Thanks to you both. Best of luck to you in the new year.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.